Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Overcast tonight with a low of 33. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 45. Lows around 30 tomorrow night.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 43.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
CBS News Special Report. An almost four-month-long strike by SAG-AFTRA represented actors is ending. The latest from CBS's Wendy Gillette.
The union says it has reached a deal with Hollywood studios, calling for an end to the strike just after midnight Thursday. The work stoppage lasted 118 days, the longest movie and TV strike in the union's history. Members still have to approve the three-year agreement after the national board reviews it Friday. A couple million Americans work directly or indirectly in the industry. The main issues on the table were pay over streaming services, healthcare funding, rules about self-taped auditions, and the use of artificial intelligence.
Details of the agreement are likely to be shared with the actors and the public in the coming days. The union says the strike will end at 12:01 a.m. on Thursday. Screenwriters ended their own strike on September 26th. It was the first time both writers and actors were on strike together since 1960. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
A lot of really good stuff that have come out of this. And it's because, one, I think Biden has done a good job of just doing the work. Hasn't gotten involved in all of the debating and all of the mudslinging. But that the idea that getting things done and seeing how crazy the Republicans have been, the fact that they're the do-nothings, well, that's not true. They do a lot. They destroy stuff. I think for some, that has been an awakening moment. Now, on the local level, where a lot of these elections were, my school board, for instance, I feared greatly would go crazy, would go toward the maniacs with misery because they had a lot of money. There were signs everywhere, big, giant, massive signs. Those are about $100 and some a piece. So they got money from somewhere. I'm kind of interested to find out where. Is it from the billionaire Jeffrey Yaz and the Maniacs for Misery, Moms for Liberty groups and all the people who are funding that? We may find out. But I was concerned. And I was concerned about a lot of local school boards and a lot of the things that I feared were going to happen. And fortunately, people saw through it. And this, again, is why elections matter. This is why we do want to have democracy where people have the vote. Rick Santorum. I just find it amazing. But again, here we are. And the message, I think, for Republicans should be, one, you've really screwed yourself over the abortion thing really badly. And you better figure out how to walk that back. But two, all of this dysfunction has made voters a little leery of you. And maybe you should do something. Maybe something positive. Maybe get back into the legislative process and figure out how to make lives better. You know, because people are upset about inflation. How are you going to help fight inflation? What's your model legislation? What's the messaging you're coming out with? Well, today they showed us what they are going to do going forward. They've heard you, America, and they are listening loud and clear. They got the message. They took the shellacking at the polls, and now they have heard you. And what did they do today? Well, Georgia Republican Mike Collins put forth an effort to defund the office of the vice president. That's right. We're going to defund Kamala Harris, which you go, oh, what? 106 Republicans voted for it. So, now, clearly didn't pass, but you still had 106 Republicans who voted to defund the vice president's office. This is the kind of nonsense and ridiculous. Oh, if only I were rich and I could afford the FCC fines. This is one of those things where you clearly you didn't get the message, because here we are 9 days away from a potential government shutdown, and Republicans still no plan. So you took a shellacking at the polls. You have been chaotic in the House for who know, for the last several months, and still no idea how to stop the train from derailing in 9 days. Now, of course, they're saying, well, we're going to have this ladder CR. Or we're going to. No, because Democrats have already said they're only going to accept a clean funding bill. No gimmicks. No, hey, we're going to shut down, you know, the department that issues, you know, EBT cards and you know, SNAP benefits. We're not going to. It's crazy where we are. And, you know, the hope is that the Republican Party wakes up from the shellacking they took on Tuesday, because their message was kind of extreme, kind of out there. But we'll see. And this is where the amazing part in all this comes. I was so happy to see that most school boards in my state of Pennsylvania didn't lose their minds. That people still believe in public education, still believe that government can and should do things. And for me, that's the message I'm taking. Now, what does this mean for 2024? It means Republicans have a problem on the abortion issue that they don't know how to solve, because their rabid base, the extreme of their base, won't allow them to walk it back. And also, look, would you believe the Republicans at this point if they then did say, oh, well, you know, we didn't really mean to outlaw Roe completely. You know, like Youngkin's trying to do, well, the 15-week thing. As I've been saying, Republicans lie a little differently today. You used to have something you could believe in. Now, they just seem like lies. It just seems like we're just making stuff up, pulling stuff out of, well, reaching back and popping out a golden nugget. And I think voters have had enough of it, or at least I hope. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. I got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. Back after that. Stick around.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So we shall see what lessons are learned. There are a lot of hot takes out there today, and you know, the one thing that I get from hot takes is most of them are wrong. Just like the polling that we see every day. the Kentucky race was neck and neck. Wasn't even close. I hope we wake up from this. Let's go to the phones. Got Steve in Chicago on line one. Steve, how are you?
Yes, I'm fine. And I had a few takeaways as well. And I'm glad that you brought up the whole issue of things like school boards. You know, sometimes we sort of forget, we get caught up in the whole national election cycle, you know, who's winning in the Senate, the House, who's ahead in terms of.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
CBS News Special Report. An almost four-month-long strike by SAG-AFTRA represented actors is ending. The latest from CBS's Wendy Gillette.
The union says it has reached a deal with Hollywood studios, calling for an end to the strike just after midnight Thursday. The work stoppage lasted 118 days, the longest movie and TV strike in the union's history. Members still have to approve the three-year agreement after the national board reviews it Friday. A couple million Americans work directly or indirectly in the industry. The main issues on the table were pay over streaming services, healthcare funding, rules about self-taped auditions, and the use of artificial intelligence.
Details of the agreement are likely to be shared with the actors and the public in the coming days. The union says the strike will end at 12:01 a.m. on Thursday. Screenwriters ended their own strike on September 26th. It was the first time both writers and actors were on strike together since 1960. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The bill to use public money to make repairs at American Family Field is expected to go to the full Senate next week. Two legislative committees approved an amended version of the bill on Wednesday. While it is not known if the new bill has enough votes to pass in the Senate, Governor Evers says he would sign it if it made its way to his desk. The Waukesha School District wants a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former teacher who was fired earlier this year. Melissa Temple lost her job as a first-grade dual-language teacher in July. She claims the district retaliated against her for speaking out on social media about the song Rainbow Land being cut from a first-grade concert. Among other things, the school district says Temple was airing a personal grievance. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast tonight with a low of 33. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 45. Lows around 30 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 43.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th. Stop surfing the dial. You found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York into Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Quality Foods makes Thanksgiving meal planning easy. Get your Thanksgiving dinner from Quality Foods on Baker or West Grand Avenue. Complete heat and serve whole turkey or turkey breast dinners with mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, cranberry relish, green bean casserole, roll, and even choice of dessert. Now simply just reheat and serve. Voila! Thanksgiving dinner is done while supplies last. Call ahead by November 20th to order. Thanksgiving dinners and the fixings from Quality Foods Baker in West Grand and Wisconsin Rapids. Get the details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private school system, which is what is happening.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
The morning show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day. Or still going to give it all I can. Or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you two.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing, yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on Locally Grown Radio.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Negotiate, we can settle on 40, 50 million. But when you have the sort of up and down vote, you know, it's okay, either for it or against it. That doesn't leave that much room for negotiation. So, yeah, I mean, like I say, it's a deep discussion that, you know, we really can't resolve. And then, of course, the radio this, you know, this hour. But it's one worth having, and it's one that's been going on for many, many centuries. So, but I will say this, that democracy, as far as voters making the decisions, requires a highly educated society, and that requires a huge investment in education. I have far more faith in Europeans making those kinds of decisions than I do in Americans. We have not just an undercurrent of anti-intellectualism in this country, it has turned to an all-out torrent, a hurricane. That's saying to people in the 21st century, you don't need to go to college. It'll damage your children if you send them. Don't pay to be indoctrinated by some crazy socialist professors.
No.
I mean, that's dangerous.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you, Steve. Appreciate the thoughts, though. Thank you, bud.
Take care.
Let's go to Alice on line two. Alice, how you doing this evening?
Hello.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Well, I was looking at the results for our little county's election, and apparently a majority of the Trump supporters are still drunk. statewide, I'm serious. It's like the Republicans, they were voting for Republicans all over the state and in the local government. Only two of the townships, I'm a borough and it wasn't ours, trust me, seemed to have voted for Democrats, and two of our county commissioners were re-voted in, and both of them are rabid Trump supporters. In fact, the one I threw off of my porch when she first started to run her first term because she was going on and on about, and then she insulted me and called me a Republican. And that did it. I said,
that was
I
it. That's all it took then. Okay, I got it. I hear you.
Oh, I was insulted. But, I, you know, I think because our county is still, unfortunately, back in the 17th century, it might take a while. But our school board was sort of, there were some ding-a-lings and then a few sane people, so I don't know. Have a good evening, Rick.
Thanks, Alice. Some ding-a-lings and a few sane people. Yeah, I got to tell you, that's where I'm at as well. But fortunately, the sane people in my school district, they're the ones who prevailed. But you know, not as big as I would have liked. And it's still there's still maybe public education in my area still has a chance. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at the Rick Smith Show.com. questions, comments, something on your mind, by all means, angry emails always to the top of the list. Miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. You will find ours. We'll take a quick break, right back, and talk a little bit more about school boards and big money in the elections and how'd that fare on Tuesday. Back after this.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass confirming the Screen Actors Guild and movie studios have reached a deal to end the strike. A second round of U.S. airstrikes targeting Iran-backed militias. Pentagon says American warplanes struck a weapons storage facility in eastern Syria. ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz saying the strikes are in response to attacks on American troops in the region.
While the U.S. is trying to make sure the war in Israel does not spread, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin saying in a statement the United States is fully prepared to take further necessary measures to protect our people and our facilities.
This is the second strike in 2 weeks. The second Republican primary debate underway in Miami. Former President Trump counter-programming with his own rally in Florida. Officials in Texas say 7 people have died, killed when a car suspected of smuggling migrants crashed head-on into another vehicle while evading police. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The bill to use public money to make repairs at American Family Field is expected to go to the full Senate next week. Two legislative committees approved an amended version of the bill on Wednesday. While it is not known if the new bill has enough votes to pass in the Senate, Governor Evers says he would sign it if it made its way to his desk. The Waukesha School District wants a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former teacher who was fired earlier this year. Melissa Temple lost her job as a first-grade dual-language teacher in July. She claims the district retaliated against her for speaking out on social media about the song Rainbow Land being cut from a first-grade concert. Among other things, the school district says Temple was airing a personal grievance. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your Mad Radio forecast. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 36. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. High of 50 tomorrow, clear skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 32. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, Steve Martin, the comedian, evidently wrote a book, a novella, called Shop Girl. In fact, it was made into a movie. A number of years ago, he was in it, and Clara Danes. didn't think anything of the book Shop Girl, but evidently one of the more than 300 titles that were removed from Collier County, Florida's school district. Steve Martin has been banned, and I love his response to it. He said that I'm so proud to have my book Shop Girl banned by Collier County, Florida. Now people who want to read it will have to buy a copy. And that, I think, I don't know that that's the right response, but it's a good one. It is a good one and good on him. But the sad thing is look, you got all these crazy school districts who are banning books left and right. So Tuesday's election, kind of, are we going to tolerate more of that? Or are voters going to push back and find some sanity in public education? Well, I know here in Pennsylvania, in a lot of places, my district being one of them, sanity won the day. And here to share some thoughts on how things went out in Bucks County, one of the most watched areas in the country over this period. I've asked Cyril Michalenko to come talk with us. Cyril is the editor-in-chief at the Bucks County Beacon. You can find their work at buckscountybeacon.com. Cyril, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thank you, Rick.
So what do you think? They panned Steve Martin's book.
Not surprising. They'll go after anything, including classics like Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five.
Yeah, I've been saying for a while, you know, they've banned my entire high school reading list. Everything I had to read in high school, they've banned. And my first thought was, where were these people when I didn't want to read those books back then?
Of course, yeah. Well, you know, knowledge is subversive, so.
This is true. And I'm grateful to have read them when I did. It helped shape some of my thinkings. But here's the thing. I look at the results from Tuesday's election. I'm not unhappy.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, here in Bucks County, it's morning again. Democrats really exceeded expectations in local elections. And we saw some really momentous Democratic wins in school boards across the county, places like Central Bucks and Penridge and Council Rock. And, you know, in Central Bucks, for example, you know, you had these parents and community members in the last year that really took the threat of Moms for Liberty and this kind of extremist anti-public education movement very seriously. They did a lot of the, you know, the heavy lifting of grassroots community organizing, educating, mobilizing, you know, really democracy building from the bottom up. And that's how you defeat these movements. And that's what led to a sweeping Democratic victory and a new Democratic board majority that was previously controlled by the far right. And, you know, let me tell you something about these parents and community members. They're dragon slayers, right? I mean, they defeated this local MAGA dragon, this multimillionaire and aspiring oligarch, Paul Martino, who dumped about $300,000 of his own cash into the race.
A school board race,
$300,000, because, you know, he wanted it to, one, buy a seat for his wife, and then two, consolidate this like extremist majority with his own handpicked MAGA Moms for Liberty backed candidates. And, you know, what this money was used for essentially was a scorched earth campaign, right? So, for example, within those hundreds of thousands of dollars, he dropped $40,000 for seed money for some out-of-state GOP political hack to start a PAC. And this guy, you know what he does? He tells the Philadelphia Inquirer that his goal is that by the time he's finished with his, you know, toxic mudslinging and disinformation, you know, what I would almost call a psyops campaign on this like quaint suburban community, that he wanted these five Democratic candidates to be, quote, ashamed to be seen in public. This is for a school board election. And so, you know, it really didn't matter if they burned the community to the ground. All that mattered was they wanted to capture power. But thankfully they lost. And it was because of all these amazing parents and community members, teachers and students, you know, who were putting in the hard work and doing that democracy building. But, you know, sadly, he's not done. He's not, you know, deterred. He said he's already gearing up for 2025. And so he didn't get the message. And, you know, having followed this gentleman for the last couple years, it's not surprising, you know, that his enormous ego isn't going to allow him to learn the lesson that voters tried to teach him, and that's that democracy is not for sale in Central Bucks School District.
Oh, yeah, but you know what they've also understood over the years, Cyril, is they throw enough money at something, eventually, down the road, eventually they're going to prevail, and that's, you got to give the right credit for spending, you know, immeasurable amounts of money to build a state policy network that's second to none. They've got think tanks and front groups and AstroTurf groups, and they've got all of this organized money pushing bad ideas constantly, 24/7, 365, more than any community group could possibly compete with. And yet, as you pointed out, the Dragon Slayers in this moment, they've won, but they know the long game. If they keep pouring money into it, maybe we'll wear down and we'll miss an election.
No, I mean, that's a great point. They have been practicing the long game for like the last five decades. And like you said, they've kind of like built these institutions and these pipelines, like from the Federalist Society to the Supreme Court or other federal benches. And the left really never, you know, had the foresight or were never able to kind of like build parallel structures.
No, you were right the first time. They never had the foresight.
Yeah.
You know, they just never built the messaging machines. They never built the information machines. They never built any of that infrastructure. And then they're surprised when they get their hats handed to them on messaging, when they're always fighting against right-wing frames and always fighting from behind instead of setting the agenda. I mean, that's been just been one of those things that has made me crazy, because we've spent all this time and energy on just defending public education instead of figuring out, hey, how can we make it better? How can we take these resources that we're putting into just defending what we have, just holding on to what we have? How can we use this energy to make things better? So, you know, even when they lose, they still win because we haven't advanced the ball at all.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully that starts changing, and it needs to change, right? Because you know, the right is this kind of like multifaceted movement, and another part of this like war on public education that we've been reporting on quite a bit is kind of the Christian nationalist element to it, which is kind of not only, you know, it's part of the Moms for Liberty movement, but it's its own bigger movement, yep. Larger movement. And, you know, it's a dominionist movement that seeks to gain power over the seven mountains or seven spheres of society, like government, media, entertainment, and education is one of those mountains. And that is a number one target for them. And, you know, this is something that we've seen kind of infiltrate school districts here in Bucks County. So in Central Bucks, which we were just talking about, the current school board president, who lost her reelection campaign, thankfully, you know, she admitted to Reuters that she had invited in the Independence Law Center, which is the legal arm of the far right Christian PA Family Institute, which is the state chapter of Focus on the Family. She invited them in to rewrite school policy, district policy,
wow.
Specifically to make it easier for parents to challenge books and for the district to ban books. And she said, you know, because they were doing it pro bono, she didn't think she needed to tell anyone about it.
Wow. So I guess maybe did they take the Hillsdale curriculum too? I mean, they're giving it away for free. So, you know, they doing that?
Well, that I think that's what the fear was, you know, if this MAGA Moms for Liberty slate of candidates were to win, and thankfully they were swept. But, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Hillsdale, because that, you know, brings us to another really huge race, and really shocking for me at least, which is in Penridge School District, right? And so that's in definitely a redder part of Bucks County. And this was a district that had a Republican Moms for Liberty, like supermajority, and the lone Democrat was initially elected as a Republican, and his party got so crazy he had to leave and he switched parties. But there in Penridge, they actually brought in Jordan Adams. He's a Hillsdale College graduate, a former Hillsdale College employee who started his own quote-unquote education consultancy company, Vermillion Education. And so Penridge was the first, and I believe still is, the only district in the nation to hire him to rewrite policy. And the Moms for Liberty sect of the all essentially the Republican supermajority of the school board just kind of like pushed this contract through, introduced it the day before. It was like an open-ended contract where essentially he was just, you know, cashing in. And what we saw happen was that he was rewriting policy and incorporating Hillsdale 1776. So Hillsdale 1776 was part of the new social studies curriculum that he helped introduce into the district. And I think a lot of people just got fed up, like that was just a step too far. And then there was just like infighting within the Republican supermajority of Penridge, where, you know, you had some people that opposed the contract, some Republicans opposed the contract, but only on kind of like really transparency, not necessarily ideology. They're ideologically aligned with this kind of like, you know, Christian right wing, you know, whitewashing of history, but they just didn't like how, you know, the even more extremist Republicans on the school board decided that, you know, transparency and accountability weren't something that they wanted to champion and were kind of impediments to their agenda. Wow. So there, the Democrats swept as well. And then that just like I would have been happy if the Democrats had gotten a couple seats, you know, but now they're in the majority. So likely Vermillion Education and Jordan Adams, he's going to be looking for another job. And again, that's the result of a lot of grassroots Democrats, a lot of community organizing, a lot of knocking on doors and just talking policy, right? It wasn't about kind of like partisanship or mudslinging. It was about saying like, look, this is what's happening in the district. Do you agree with this? And the district came under fire as well, because they were shadow banning books. They were pulling books out of the library under the pretense of weeding old and obsolete titles. But all the titles that they happened to be pulling just happened to be titles that Moms for Liberty targeted. You know, what a coincidence! And so a parent, Darren Lawson, he was fed up and he took the district to court. First, he filed RTK requests to get information about what was happening, how these books were being reviewed, which ones were getting pulled. The district stonewalled him. He took him to court and, you know, and he wiped the court with him because the judge ruled that the district was acting in bad faith and were engaged in what amounted to a cover up. And so again, there's just another district in Bucks County that went all blue and was part of this blue wave that we saw sweep through both, you know, local government offices, like county commissioner, Bucks County county commissioners, and, you know, Doylestown township supervisors, Newtown township supervisors, and in school districts like Central Bucks, Penridge, and even Council Rock, where Moms for Liberty weren't really in yet, but they were knocking at the door and they were able to kind of fend them off.
Yeah. No, you listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Cyril Michaleko. He's editor in chief over at the Bucks County Beacon. You can check out their website, buckscountybeacon.com, for all of the reporting they've done on this and other issues. I saw a tweet though that said that anyone who's maybe keeping track of Jeffrey Yaz, the billionaire here in Pennsylvania who spent a lot of money on right-wing politicians and a lot of this attack on education stuff, they said every race that he put money into, they lost. And he spent over $5 million on losing campaigns. That's a good sign. I got to tell you, I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And again, like, you know, we are at a disadvantage because we don't have these kind of like, you know, decades old institutions and, you know, these kind of like millionaires and billionaires kind of like, you know, funding them. But we do have people power. And what we're seeing is like people power, when galvanized, defeat plutocrats. And I would just say, like, another component of the of these victories that we're seeing in throughout Bucks County, across
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts,
the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Another Rick Smith show.
Are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1897. That was the day that Dorothy Day, a leader of the Catholic worker movement, was born in Brooklyn, New York. As a young girl, her family moved to San Francisco. Her father lost his job due to the devastating earthquake of 1906, and the family relocated again to Chicago. In 1932, she met Peter Morin, and together they founded the Catholic Worker Movement, a faith-based social justice effort. The Catholic workers opened what they called houses of hospitality to serve those in need. Dorothy helped to co-found the Catholic Worker, a monthly newspaper that became a voice for poor and working people. While writing for the paper, Dorothy traveled and visited with some of the most exploited workers in the country. She talked with migrant agricultural workers in California and was arrested for supporting the United Farm Workers in 1973. In 1940, she visited the Hooverville encampment in Seattle, Washington. Dorothy's reporting vividly demonstrated how her faith informed her activism. She wrote, quote, "The rain poured down, underneath was mud, ankle deep, and the long lane that cut between the rows of shacks reflected the gray clouds in its pools. But Christ is there. I thought sadly, there in the mud, in the shacks with his poor, with them he is trying to find a place to lay his head. With them he hungers, and with them he suffers fatigue of body and soul. Behold, O God, our Redeemer, and look upon the face of thy Christ. There in the dumps, among the creatures who still are men, have pity on them and on us who permit such things to be." Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So I keep hearing about inflation. Inflation, inflation, inflation's killing us. And look, the reality is inflation is killing us. Inflation is bad. And it's been bad. And you know, what I find interesting is, you know, a lot of my friends are saying, well, it's all Joe Biden's fault. And I've been saying for a long time, no, it's corporate America. Corporate America has been screwing us for a very long time. We've been getting the shaft from them for quite some time. And now Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey has a new report out that points out that inflation rose by 14% from July 2020 to July 2022. During the same period as inflation went up 14%,
corporate profits went up by 75% over the same period. You go, how can that be? Well, do you think there's something to that? That as corporate America is lining their pockets and making themselves richer and richer, that it's working people who are the ones who are struggling? Do you think that could have, I don't know, something to do with it? Just kind of throwing that out there. Now, what's interesting is the Federal Reserve found that corporate profits accounted for all of the inflation in the first year, all of it. Every bit of the inflation the first year, that is corporate America. All of it. Did I stutter there at all? Because again, if you remember, it's all Joe Biden's fault. Joe Biden did this. And you go, no, it wasn't Joe Biden. No. It was corporate America. So that first year, all on them. And in fact, they point out, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average family spent $61,332 in 2022 to survive, to lead their lives. In 2021, the average family spent $66,928, about a 9.1% increase, an extra almost $5,600 for the year. About $3,200 of that was because of inflation. And all of it had to do with corporate profits. So basically what we did as working people is we just took $32 and handed it over to corporate America. Wasn't that nice of us? And this is where I keep coming back to, you know, okay, yeah, inflation.